Yes, join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise your name and we just glorify you, Lord. We just ask you, just forgive us of our sins. Father, we are so thankful for the moisture in the air and the water on the ground. Lord, we just pray in supplication tonight that every decision we make will glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Out on this wet night, so it's good to see all the nice faces here tonight. All right, we're going to start with good things as we always do every week or every month. Seems like every week, but it's been every week for quite a few weeks. But the main board meeting, it's really nice for us to go through our good things. Anyone want to start?
Got a graduation party down in the books for. I'm a senior, so that's kind of like planning a wedding.
That's right. Yeah. Celebration.
Yes.
Some kids had some EMC's animal selections this weekend, so ended up with four pigs and three sheep, and so I got a barn full of animals again.
I thought you weren't going to do that again.
I thought I wouldn't either. I can't stop it.
That's awesome. I went to the band banquet. And I was really glad to see that they had invited the members from last year who didn't get a banquet. So that was really good to see. Gave out a lot of awards. And just want to point out that Band Boosters, it's run right now. The president is someone who doesn't even have a kid in band. It's just difficult to find, I think, people to do those kinds of jobs. Just want to recognize our volunteers because I sincerely think they make things run around here and do so much that we don't recognize or know about, maybe I shouldn't say. And the other thing I did was Senior Awards Night, and that was really nice. It was just so good to see the students and their, receiving their accolades and getting their awards, and just a really happy occasion. So, I don't know, it was exciting, really nice to see everyone, and I think it was a good turnout, seemed like it anyway.
Alan and Jeff and I, we went to Austin last week, and very receptive. We appreciate our state rep, Will Metcalf. He's always, for the most part, he's always thinking about education. His wife actually was an educator. I'm not sure if she's a current educator, but so he has a good sight on what's really happening at the ground level. Often we have to talk to our Mr. Brandon Crichton, and sometimes he's got a mixed record with us, but he's always receptive, so we appreciate that.
Our San Francisco State Bearcats, anyone? National champions. I was there on Sunday. It was wet, cold, and awful, but the win. So.
Yeah, they won. That's what matters.
It's a great institution for educators, for sure.
Absolutely. All right. That's it. And you're welcome. Student recognition is next. So, Ms. Archer?
Ms. Archer.
Okay, good evening, everybody. It gives me, I'm going to take this off to the distance. Great pleasure to recognize these students, our top 10, the work that they have put in over their 4-year college career, actually their last 13 years. As Suzanne said at the Senior Awards the other night, it was just so exciting to see their accomplishments and for them to be recognized. And we have several that were planning to be here, I think because of the weather, maybe weren't able to come, but I'm going to go ahead and introduce all of them. Our 10th, and if you'll just come up and line the front, 10th is Lucera Villafana. She is the daughter of Rogelio and Maria Villafana, and she plans to attend the College of Healthcare Professions and major in Diagnostic Medical Sonography. All right. 10th also is Trinity Bremer. She is the daughter of... She plans to attend Texas Texas A&M University and major in environmental geoscience. Ninth, we have Tatiana Gamboa. She is the daughter of Carlos and Roberta Gamboa. She plans to attend the University of Texas and major in biology. Eighth, we have Lizbeth Manzano. She is the daughter of Manzano. She plans to also attend Texas A&M University and major in kinesiology. Seventh, we have Ashton Schultz. She is the daughter of Marcus and Lucy Schultz. She plans to attend Texas A&M University and major in communication science. Sixth, we have Hope Miracle. Daughter of Wyatt and Carrie Miracle. She plans to attend Texas A&M University and major in business. Congratulations. Fifth, we have Brianna Lennox. I don't think she was able to be here. Is the daughter of Daniel and Mindy Lennox. She plans to attend Sam Houston State University and major in art and animation. Fourth, we have Lizbeth Rivera. She is the daughter of Elena Yanez and Manuel Rivera. She plans to attend Sam Houston State University and major in kinesiology also. Third, we have Ashlyn Ellich. She is the daughter of Kenneth and Tracy Ellich. She plans to attend Texas State University.
Woo!
And major in education.
At least you got one.
Second, in Splendora High School's class of 2021 salutatorian is Chris Andrade. Chris is the son of Alejandro Andrade, and Juana Solorzano. He plans to attend University of Houston and major in mathematics. Valedictorian is not here because she is in Austin watching Sammy Weldon compete in the state golf tournament. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce her. So, and first, in our Splendora High School's class of 2021, valedictorian is Alexandria Bashirs. She is the daughter of Kevin and Carrie Bashirs, and she plans to attend Texas A&M University and major in environmental design. So here I have for you our top 10. We'll go back here and take a picture, and then you all are free to leave.
You want to turn around and wave at the
board?
Oh,
yes,
wave at the board.
Great work,
Ms. Archer, I also want to say that to the board that night there was a student that was recognized for 13 years of perfect attendance.
Yes.
And I thought that was something awesome. And anyway, I wanted everyone to know, because that's to not be sick or absent in 13 years. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
She got TV board. I'll come back
I spent some time in San Marcos.
Not studying, but.
Ladies, and Chris, could you scoot that way? Now I'll meet. You move that chair out of the way or something. Yeah, just switch to that one. Jennifer, could you get between these two? All right, are you ready? I need your mask. I'm sorry, I need your mask. For 5 more days, 6 more days, 7 more days?
You can do this.
Ready? Okay.
Wait, I wasn't smiling.
Smile with your eyes. Everybody take a big breath. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Maybe one more. 2, 3. Hold on, I know parents want to get some.
Yep, go. Parents.
All right, 1, 2, 3.
Scoot on in there.
Smiley eyes.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Great job, guys.
It's right there. Did you switch one?
Yes, I did.
But this didn't switch.
Oh, it didn't switch.
I got you.
I'll take my umbrella.
So next on the agenda, we have district recognition, the Capturing Kids Hearts National Showcase District.
Yes, we have all our principals, all of our principals, and Dr. Barnes, come to the front, please. Eve, yes, you, Carrie, come on. No, it's okay.
Part of this.
You are. Y'all can just face the board.
Face the board.
So it is my pleasure to announce that for the second year in a row, we are a National Showcase District for Capturing Kids Hearts, one of eight in the nation. Is that right? Eight in the nation this year, and one of two in Texas?
Yes.
Still? And so these principals, Dr. Barnes, you're to be commended for, you know, making sure those processes happen on our campuses, and for the dedication and commitment you have to building positive, appropriate relationships and high-performing teams on your campuses. I commend you for getting us that recognition again. So thank you for all of your work.
Thank you. So we come to the
kind of audience. Did you see that?
I've not received any audience participation cards, so participants must have signed up prior to board meeting start time. Participants may address the board on any agenda items. Participation is limited to 3 minutes to make comments to the board. Unless the participant requires the use of a time player, in which case participation is limited to 6 minutes. The board will only consider complaints that remain unresolved after being addressed through proper administrative channels, and then when they've been placed on the agenda. Please note the Board of Trustees shall not deliberate, respond, or make decisions regarding any subject that is not included on the agenda that is posted. For further information on these requirements, contact AEP, Superintendent Secretary, 281-689-4441. All right, so next, the Board of Trustees will go into a closed session. The closed session will be held for purposes authorized by the Texas Open Meetings Act, Texas Government Code 551.074, Personnel, and 551.076, Safety, concerning any and all purposes permitted by the Act. No voting will take place in the closed meeting. Any action the board wishes to take as a part of discussion in closed session will take place after the board reconvenes in the open meeting. It is now 6:42 p.m.
I'll come back to get you, Chief. Kevin, I need you as well.
Huh?
I need you as well.
Sorry, y'all are going to have to wait through this, but we'll see y'all in a couple hours. Maybe not.
Maybe I'll wait when you get back.
Something about her, and I don't know if something about her.
Here's your last one.
This is it.
Last ditch effort.
But, yeah, I'm going to be hiring or something Thursday, but I'm all day on Tuesday. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Did they kick you out?
They did.
Yes. Man.
They kicked me out for the looks, though.
That's bullying.
I know, they kicked me out because of the looks. They were all jealous of me.
I know. That's bullying.
It is. I'm glad you noticed.
But we're not. We don't know the distance.
I tried that. It responds, and they just go like, your point.
Yeah.
We did figure out what was wrong. So we kept trying to point and use
use the white clicker to do that to change the input. You're supposed to change the input on the button right there. If you're
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, put it down to the party.
Yes, yes, yes. It's warm. What the?
We used to do this. Come
her. Somebody in LA
Oh, I know somebody in LA at all.
There's Gators, Bob.
It's okay, she's not going to blow herself off.
I'm not kidding, there are Gators.
As long as you don't fall in, you're good.
That's why I won't go in that water.
Thank you.
I keep hearing that.
I got a pool right down the way. Those jet skiers can go get me out.
Yes, honey, they were taking pictures of me.
Did she say oh?
No.
Very important.
Wait, told us she didn't want to boil it up all the time. So.
She's been playing with her bees.
I know it.
How are your bees?
They're good.
Have you found the queen bee?
How do you know if your bee's good?
That's what I was wondering.
Well,
have you found the queen bee?
Well, three of the hives, they had already marked the queen, so she's easy to find.
How do they mark her?
They put a little dot of white paint on her back.
Oh, not the other. Oh, okay.
The other bee makes the other bees.
Where do those bees get their stuff?
Hey, I'm with you. I was like, what are those bees? How do they mark at the bee store?
Little bitty paste. And little bitty brushes. Bee tiny
bits.
Behave.
Eric said that.
So I noticed Susan gets freaked out by that video. Just the sound.
Oh, yeah.
Them in your car. So every once in a while,
you scared? You could be a Lifetime movie.
It's going to be like The Alligators.
Well, I'll tell you, last week, I was feeding a little bit.
Yeah, that's the biggest sign.
I took the thing off of my son's.
Miss Webby, how are you?
Is
it
Friday yet?
Hey.
So I asked Diana when we walked up the door, I said, how's your week been so far? She said, today is what? Monday?
So this morning, Sharon was out there greeting, and she gets out of the car, and like their eyes light up, and they like beeline for Karen. And I'm like, hello, hello, hello. And he was at Greenleaf with me. And I was like, I mean, just like beeline for him.
He's
going to go? No, he was at Greenleaf. Yeah, the kid came from Greenleaf last year.
Chief, I got a Let's Talk pet compliment for Officer Mosley.
Okay.
It was pretty cute. You're going to hear it.
Compliment? Hold on, please.
He was just so good with her, and I was hearing him talk, you know. And
I seem to do that before, yeah. So I'm going to knock her by the ramp and then we're walking.
Doing a walk.
Yep,
doing a walk. But anyway, that was really wonderful. That was like, probably never tell you, but he got it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He received it. It was last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you now.
So, yeah. Look, this is, I think, Mike talking to one of our friends.
Who?
Cafeteria storeroom, whatever. And so they were giving away free chickpeas to the kids with every meal they had and stuff. And so we had kids that were 25, 30 bags of chickpeas. Well, it was like chickpea war going down the hallways and in class and stuff.
Gosh. Oh, gosh. Like little bees.
That Friday, yes. All over the place. More. And it just everywhere. Poor custodians were, they couldn't keep up. Dust off the floors.
Couldn't leave over the chickpeas.
It was crazy.
Yeah, my manager walked in the next morning and she said, there was chickpeas all in the parking lot.
Everywhere.
Isn't that what they make fun of stuff? Chickpeas?
Yes.
That's right.
How do you know that?
I know a lot of things. That's one of them. That's why I don't know. The
you can be my partner on trivia.
Just call me if you need a lifeline or something.
Okay. Then I don't know any trivia. Like, whenever people know random things, I'm so impressed.
I don't know any of the important stuff, but I can tell you what she did, what constants matter.
Maybe it's just because I'm so hungry. I'm impressed. But,
I'm just thinking about the hallways. Promise.
I'm so interested to know what Mummus is made out of. I really am. What is it?
Chickpeas.
Is that what
it
is?
Yeah.
funny if they came out, we were just all gone. Like, even Timmy.
the chimney.
No, it's 10. That's when you shoot up.
All right, you made it to 10. Just hit right amount.
Thanks, sir. It don't matter, I drink the black.
Oh, we're kidding. It is the board of the year.
June 15th. What's the board of you and you? June 1st. Some of that same stuff could be as good. So that's what I do.
You have your third day awards at 2, but
I do.
But I appreciate it, Tyler. That's not what I'm saying.
No question.
What time did you say? 90 to what time?
It's at 2:30.
I said nothing. I'm like, come on.
What time is mom?
2:00.
You have fun? Glad you are.
I'm sorry. The only reason I'm going to get it on that day is because I'm going to get it on
the bus. Is it Granny? What is it?
So tomorrow night's video is going to be about the pin receipts.
Which one?
Last year we did the whole thing virtually and it did like it was a couple hours. The whole
this year we're doing
one night of pin recipients, which is tomorrow night. The 19th is going to be the entire weekend. I'm going to get water. And then on the 20th, it's going to be particularly bad. It's probably going to be about 10 minutes more. We'll put all those district award winners at the end of that one, in which that one goes in district award winner. So, clear as mud.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm sure you are.
I see my knees are sort of
right there. Yeah, on the top.
Hey, honey.
We're lucky to make it through. We're going to need to get on. You've got to take one class this summer.
That's
all.
Yeah.
really thought that was your door, but I met you tonight, but I never saw you.
Oh, who did?
My Nesher Dorsey.
Uh-huh.
He made himself. Oh, I saw you. You're a little bit of a man.
Oh, the one right off of the...
Okay.
Told to not
involve you,
involve me.
She does a little bit of everything. Herbs, pills, marijuana, pills.
Dr. King made that. Like, there was no quilt and then there was.
She's ignoring me.
Do you have a room set up here?
I do have a room.
Hey, T, you gotta quit giving us false notes.
This is the one I'm finishing.
Sorry. Oh, who's that one for?
Oh, it's actually for Tammy.
Oh, she's gonna love that.
I don't have a binding on it yet.
I love those.
Her and Willie get together.
So my mother-in-law, okay, kids, like, all the kids, like, 12 everybody.
Her and Willie Nelson.
I love her. It's red.
There's my baby.
Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Look at the little pieces.
I do have a lot of property.
And Halloween costume. She's so cute.
She's a mess.
What's her name?
This was her.
The smokehouse.
I think I know. I kept the first picture. The first picture, she would be in Sally.
What's her name?
Her name is Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Yes, hello.
Oh, I appreciate you.
It is a TV show.
One
word is them.
Girls.
The older version of that.
Golden Girls.
No.
What?
Girls. Older.
Older.
Come over to the church.
You should have said you are not the father.
black and white.
Not 50s.
It wasn't Andy Griffin. It was the other one about the same time.
Small animal eats trees.
What's a little animal?
Small animal eats trees. Don't listen to the women that try to kill it.
There you go. There you go.
Oh my God.
Never
gonna
this is a fashion show. There you go.
Walk down.
Yes. Yeah.
They walk down the.
No, airplanes stand on airplane.
Yes. So this is something that kids do in class.
Good job.
This is something that I.
Hogan's. Hogan's.
There you go.
Yay!
There you go. Down. A lot of times we just say this.
Okay.
No, don't say that.
Not now.
Hey, we're using guns. Good job.
Ten-three.
Darla?
I got a lot that time. We're good.
Teacher,
right.
You entertained us.
I know.
Thank you. Oh, it's a show where they go on diets and the one who...
You're not little, you're
not losing.
Yeah.
Let's go up. Go up.
This is the big sign.
In California. What does it say? Where do the actors live?
LA.
But what's it called though? Where they're stars.
I can't think.
There were three. And then it's not a boy, it's a girl. No.
Boy.
You are not the father.
Oh, more bullets. No, keep going. He's
right here.
He's Yes.
This is what I was at the board meeting.
Yes.
Y'all want a new packer?
Yeah, please.
No, I didn't expect this.
I'm gonna leave it by TV.
When he came out, I thought.
All right, this is acted out gold. You can't use words.
Oh, okay.
Right now?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Charades.
I don't get ready.
What is this app called? Olympic style. This deck is full of Olympic events.
Oh, yes.
Numbers and more.
Yes.
Act out the action on the card for your teammate to guess. No talking.
Oh, so I've got to act
it.
They
might be acting.
No, they're acting it out for you to guess.
Okay, we'll act it out. You guess.
Everybody's going to act it out.
Okay. Yeah, you act it out. Sure. Okay. Oh, no, we act it out. Okay.
Oh,
we can't talk.
Tennis.
Yeah.
I got running and I got four track.
Yeah.
Track and field.
All of it. What? Yeah. You can't talk.
Powerlifting. Four.
Yeah.
Four routine.
That's close enough.
Balance beam.
That's what I'm talking. Oh.
Running, track. Marathon, long distance running. Steeplechase. Relay.
Race!
I thought it was events. I'm thinking events specifically.
There was floor exercise.
Four exercises.
Oh, I got the second time.
We just wanted y'all to know what it's like at the end of the meeting. And we wanted y'all to experience it one time.
Oh, we had lots of fun.
I know we heard you.
We have to do something. You do it.
But you want to do it.
Where's the party?
Here we go.
Flip it up.
Oh, you're doing that. That's fine.
Oh, okay. Ooh, yes. Volleyball.
Nope. Specific.
Spike it. Oh, Harvey. Yes.
There you go.
Heard 1960.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
And y'all don't look at them cameras.
Oh boy.
Well, Dietrich, we probably have some announcements about floods in here, don't we?
Are you left? Hey! Turn off your water sprinkler.
Okay. We're back. Everybody's back.
We're back.
That's what he just
said.
Yes, ma'am.
Heads up.
Okay.
We're back.
We don't know.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the new hires as presented. Okay, Adam's got it. All right. All those in favor of approving the new hires, raise your right hand. All right. Motion carries.
Don't forget to send your hires to Dietrich, please.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So we have next item 10, information discussion items. We have the TASB advocacy resolution discussion. Mm-hmm. So that's something we do yearly. It seems like that's, you just did it.
No, it's just, you're just coming up with ideas, and then next month we submit the actual resolutions y'all want.
Okay. I kind of was thinking about anything that has to do with a specifically fast growth funding, you know, things like that, that are really tailored to our ISD versus the whole state.
Yep.
And then the other thing is I still feel like it's important. I know the state's taking it, Wi-Fi for rural areas, and some, I don't know, anybody else?
Just to go with what you're saying, I think it's fast growth with really the key is the low property value per student and those, that combination. And there's a couple data points that I think we need to really try to investigate, because I think we could get some traction across the state. Typically, your low property value has, I suspect, I haven't dug into the data, but I suspect it's due to large exemptions from large timber and large ag exemptions.
Okay.
So basically, if you're in oil and gas production, you get a high value per student. But if you have ag and timber,
natural resources.
Yes, and I know there's a couple other little caveats within the school funding, like Killeen ISD. They have like a lot of military, so that's entire, that you've got an entire piece of their district that's exempt. So anyway, if we find those, then we can find traction across the state.
So we just need to refine our ideas, Katie, and then come up with something for...
So at our June meeting,
yes,
that's when we'll come back and
all
vote on.
Okay. All right, we've got an ESSER grant update.
Yes, so Kevin and Dr. Barnes and Dr. Gergerson have been working to finalize our ESSER grant application. That is due June when? June 19th? Somewhere there? No one's answering me.
Dr. Tammy, when is, I was just trying to think about June.
I think it's June.
Like that?
No, it's a little better. Anyway, so we are still working on that. We'll get you guys a copy of it. We do have to have a public hearing prior to that going. And so when is
and
that?
And that's June 7th.
That is, we have to have it on June 7th. Oh, wow. Because, yeah, I think it's the 9th, actually, is when it has to be in. But we'll send you guys the updated plan. Right. Just kind of want to give you an update on the process. It doesn't have to be approved by the board. You do have to have a public hearing. And it's posted right now. Is it posted on the website yet?
Yes, the okay. ESSER stuff is, yes.
The ESSER stuff is posted on the website, so we'll send you guys that.
So we're going to have that for the...
The 7th, just for the public hearing. The board doesn't have to take action on it. It just has to be in there for the meaningful feedback from the public.
Okay. Next, professional learning report. We have that in the board report.
Any questions?
I had a couple of questions, but okay. You sent it to every the questions,
I
right?
I sent the questions that you sent me to the
okay.
Okay.
Do you have questions?
Dr. Gregerson, anyone have questions?
Sure.
I think mine got answered, so thank you very much for that.
Looks like she wants to present something.
Anyone else?
She's about to be in.
Okay. let's see. First of all, we got student participation and programs update.
Dr. Barnes, the enrollment data.
So we shared out the big report of the numbers, because I do our 3 years, I think you guys asked for. And it's, the only other pieces we're still working on is just some of the demographic information Mr. Wells asked for, so we've been kind of hand doing it, trying to get it done, and we got most of that, probably most of the junior high done, and just kind of finishing up the high school. But the enrollment pieces from what we're looking at is pretty consistent. It's not a lot of growth in a lot of areas. There are a couple of programs that have decreased. A lot of the decrease at the junior high level is because sixth grade is off that campus. So you see some big drops there, which should be picked up at the elementary, like the choirs and some band stuff. And but athletically, I mean, things are kind of staying pretty stable. CTE. One of the things we have to look forward to as we are, and I think that's probably maybe the older slide, Cheryl, but one of the things we have to look for is what our CTE, me and Adam talked about, as we're increasing the amount of offerings we have, then it causes a decrease. Because you only got such a, you got 1,200 kids at the high school, like let's say for instance with the new automotive program that came in, so we had almost 100 kids sign up to take that. Well, those 100 kids are probably going to be pulled out of another CTE program. So that number is going to fluctuate as we increase. Same thing with adding, if we add in additional sports items, those numbers, because our population hadn't grown yet. So as you add more, you'll see that kind of fluctuation.
So what I've talked to the director to do is that it's a better job of monitoring by the semester. So in the fall, in the spring, kind of what you guys are asking for, looking at those numbers, doing a better job of advertising as we go down to the elementary levels. So like with our athletics programs, we have the coaches going to be scheduled to go into those sixth grade PE athletic classes. Of course, the band is already there, but just trying to get more and more participation or an increase in awareness at those elementary levels to try to, you know, keep those kids encouraged with the programs. And so we've been working on those as well. And so, and the other piece is just to look at, especially with the high school, survey those kids out to see where the interests are. Because some of our programs, you know, as we just added another program that was really popular. As you add those in, you'll get more kids toward those programs. And the ones that are not gaining, you know, we need to really look at what are we doing for recruitment. So I think the idea, the mindset of just waiting to see what we get versus being proactive and going out and recruiting and getting kids. And so that's the things I'm charging the directors with to make sure that's occurring.
So do you see the growth, say, in athletics, and we can use any of them, athletics, CTE, finance. Mm-hmm. Do you see any of them not growing as fast as the district growth?
So like for instance in athletics, probably the one that kind of stands out as a decrease was cross country.
As a whole. Not as a program, but as a whole.
I didn't really see it. I mean like...
The athletics across the board.
Just across the board, high school athletics.
I would imagine the expectation would be that every program should grow as the growth, but in numbers that I'd seen previously, where we were on a 5% growth, but we were only like in a six student gain, in athletics.
Yeah. So some of that, like coming from the junior high to the high school. So like for instance, we have more eighth grade football players in at junior high than we have in ninth grade football. But and we talked about, hey, let's survey those kids, see what's going on. But there were like, I want to say 30 kids who said, hey, make it to high school, I'm just doing soccer. So I'm not doing football. So the football numbers are going to drop off.
More,
so as you start coming from junior high to high school, the drop offs occur because kids can specialize in more. You know, we just have limited offers at the junior high, so they all are kind of in everything. But then once you get to high school, well, I don't want to play football, I just want to play basketball.
So how do we, because we cap so many programs in junior high, and then like you said, some of them say, well, I'm not going to play that next year, and then you've capped who you've developed, and now you're trying to make a freshman team, and you've only got five kids where you only allowed 25 to play last year or whatever. I see an issue with that.
The plan is to strengthen our off-season programs, and so we have coaches scheduled to come down to the junior high. So we have the coordinators going to be coming to assist with the boys and girls in athletics to try for some of those kids who maybe not on a 15-member basketball team, but might still want to play basketball. They were doing some off-season things with them, skill-related. So they do want to take a chance again the following year if they have that opportunity, get a little better situated for it.
Okay.
So we have that's boys, girls, 7th and 8th grade. We've got that scheduled in. I've been working with Mr. Broussard and Ms. Archer to get that master schedule kind of worked out. And the same thing with those coaches going over to, they won't go every day to the 6th graders, but they're scheduled to be at those days. And we also talked about having some of the high school kids kind of do some after school opportunities with those 6th graders. Maybe have a day or two a week, whereas the after school kind of practice, they'll be working on skills. So I think the more we can invest in helping, you know, get better with their skill sets, the chance of making the teams are better. But, you know, some of them are just capped out. I mean, we got 15 or 20, you know, kids on the team, unless you try to start a second team, you have another stipend, you got to get another coach, you know, so you just have to kind of balance that out. But the goal is not to cut anybody in junior high, but the kids who don't necessarily make the team, but we're still doing some work with them. And we also looked at the idea of possibly setting some intramural at the school level. So those kids who maybe didn't make the team, but we could still do some additional things for them.
Good. Thank you. And I appreciate the demographic data. I thought that's very good. And
yes, sir.
I think it's worth sharing with those coaches and as such, you know, just so they just have an awareness.
Yeah, so this last show that I shared with you guys, I didn't share with them. And as we kind of add to it, like I said, we're going to add more. The piece of the demographic data is not like a one, two-button push.
Yeah.
Like I have to run all of the student lists and then find a list of who's eco this, and then find the list who's in athletics in the class and try to cut and paste and do duplicates, remove duplicates. And doing interviews last week, it was just kind of tough to get all that knocked out. But so we're working. I hope by the end of the week we'll have it all done.
Were there any surprises to you? In the data?
In the data? Well, I'd say that probably the, let's look at the demographic data, probably the, it mirrored the district for the most part, except when we did cheerleaders. That one was just totally
as a whole.
He said the biggest surprise to him was that there wasn't a canned report that he could pull it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
nice. Not to say you make one.
Yeah.
It's,
on the cheerleaders, we're not saying the number of economic kids participating in cheerleading as you're doing everything else. And that may be a cost factor.
Yeah.
So we're looking into that. That's the point of these reports is that we can see trends. And
so we'll just keep building those reports. So then as we, every year, we'll add into it again so we can look back and have longitudinal data to see where where we're growing, where we came from.
So I was just typing that question for tomorrow as a follow-up. So each... So each you pointed on it. That's why I stopped. EcoDIS is following the campus ratios on almost everything except cheer.
For most of them, yes, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do is so for each group, so like I did, so like junior high choir, junior high cheer, junior high athletics. For each one of those, it'll be a demographic output and also economic disadvantage output. So you'll see when it's done. For every group, for every activity that we have on that list, you'll get that information for both of them.
Appreciate it. You saved my question.
I say appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Barnes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So next we have child nutrition information. And we have Nancy Hoffman here.
Hi. I'm here to answer any questions. If you have any, I tried to make them straightforward, my slides, but...
I think it's awesome. So it's lunch, breakfast, and lunch will be.
Breakfast, lunch. I will feed any child next year. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. As long as we have a program there, I was going to start the application process, get that rolling. I'm just waiting for TDA. So, yeah,
that's awesome.
Just one question: How do we get student feedback on the cafeteria stuff? Do we even? I guess.
With student feedback, I actually use a, in my system, I have an acceptability factor to where some kids just do, some campuses just do a representative sample. However, I kind of use the whole school as a sample. We put something on there three times, we see how it does. If it, we throw it up against the wall, if it sticks, it sticks. If it doesn't, we take it off.
Thank you.
So we kind of do a whole campus.
If you ask my daughter, she like mac and cheese and chicken every day. So.
Oh, yeah, don't ask my kid about food.
Yeah.
Any other questions? We're good? All right, let's move on. So we have,
Nope, I don't.
We have presentations. So the virtual learning plan, Dr. Gregerson and Mr. Valley.
So this here really is just an update. We're still waiting on House Bill 1468 to be approved by the Senate. I'm thinking within the next week or so we'll hear a final decision on that. But what we wanted to do is go ahead and kind of take stock of the capacity that we have right now in the district if we were to move forward with it. So this is just kind of a plan outlining it. Of course, the bill requires grades 3 through high school. Currently, we do not have the capacity to offer remote learning at the high school because it would take multiple FTEs to make that happen to be able to provide all the pathways and different courses that they want to take. So we're not recommending that we continue it in high school. If we had the numbers to support grades 3 through 8, we feel like we could figure out the capacity to help support those students. That being said, we started surveying our students. We have a total of 61 elementary students currently in remote learning. We had 12 who said yes, they would like to continue in remote learning. 34 said no, they're planning on returning next year. And we had 15 no responses for elementary. The junior high, we have 15 total remote students. We have 3 yeses, 2 noes, and we still have 10 that have not responded. So I have reached out. They're going to go ahead and follow up with another email or contact with those kiddos. And then the high school, we just did it just because we wanted to see what they were thinking. We have a total of 70 currently. We have 13 yeses. They would like to continue, 10 noes, and then 37 no responses. So we'll continue to reach out to those to see what their responses are, but that's currently where we stand right now. If we do remote learning, currently the way the bill states, it has to be synchronous, meaning that it has to be live sessions. So it's going to look very different because the kids will have to sign in at specific times. So they would receive a schedule. Here's your schedule for like reading and writing and math, science, and so on. And they would have to sign in at those specific times. So I don't know that it's going to appeal to everybody because it's going to look very, very different. Mike Morath does have the authority in this bill to create more guidelines for us. We have no idea what those would look like until he was able to do that if this bill passes. Do y'all have any questions right now?
It's kind of crazy. That's not giving a whole lot of time to get stuff together.
We're currently part of a network, so what some of the local districts have done, and Nathan's been very involved in this from the get-go, is they kind of created a little cohort, a network of, like, it involves Conroe, Goose Creek, Pasadena, Galena Park, I won't name them all, but they started talking to one another. What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? So now they've created a network where they're meeting every week to kind of figure out the updates, to stay kind of update with what's going on, and then what everybody else is doing, just to get ideas moving forward. Most of the big districts are offering it in some capacity. Very few of the small districts are offering it at this time. And so that would make sense. But even like Conroe, currently they're going to cap it at 2,000. And I think I shared last time they have 10,000. So that means a lot. That's 8,000 students that they're not saying they're not going to support. So I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting year if it passes. Do you have any questions? If the numbers stand like they are right now, we're not going to have students to even support it at any level.
That was 12. We might lose 4 from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
I can test that out.
All right. Now we have Youngblood, the Counseling and Social Emotional Learning Update.
Yes, just the update. And I sent the packet in. I know it was pretty lengthy attachments, but I tried to make them as explanatory as possible so that that would be the summaries more so than just a report with all of the surveys that we did that lasted forever this summer. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at social emotional wellness and counseling, we're really splitting into 2 different presentations. So we'll address a lot of the academic concerns and guidance next time. I know there were some questions about that. But this is really just more of an update on what we're doing with social emotional wellness across the district. And of course, supporting Goal 5, providing that culture of social emotional wellness for all. You know, that we're managing emotions, achieving goals, feeling and expressing empathy for others, establish and maintain a positive and trusting relationship, be physically and psychologically safe, and take risk and not feel failure. And that's what we want, not just for our kids, but for our adults. Mm-hmm. And so really providing that piece to support the adult capacity. Because if we don't support the adult capacity, how do we expect them to support the kid capacity? Yeah. So really building capacity in our people, our counselors, and our teachers, and all of our staff members. And so separating counseling and social-emotional learning, because those are really 2 veins on 2 different branches. So they kind of commingle, but they're also separate. We have 10 counselors in the district, and you know those 10 can't go in and provide that daily, everyday structure and routine and learning that's necessary for the reinforcement of those positive behaviors. And so really building capacity this year with our counselors and moving into next year on how to support that on the campus level, where we can move into social emotional learning on a regular daily basis. And so that is my goal for next year, is to get it in the classrooms on a daily basis. And just a chart on what that might look like, what our ratios are, the overlap between the daily SEL, the counselors, we go with Labor, which is what I'm looking at right now. It's a TEA-approved curriculum. They would support it on the counseling end and also support it on the teacher end in the classroom. We also have trainers on board that will come in and train both the counselors and the teaching staff and to go back and forth between the two. Continuing with the panorama survey, so we have the student base and know that we're making a difference. And the survey results, you have the summaries. I don't know if you have questions. I did send a rather lengthy email to Alan earlier, but I think Dr. Burke forwarded to everyone for each of his questions. And the main thing I want to talk about today that I'm excited about is the collaboration with the Region Center. TEA has lagged behind a lot of the other states in providing a lot of mental health supports and the funding for the mental health supports, but I think with the push of COVID and everything that's come out, they are funneling money into the Region Centers to then funnel down to us. So where we had a half-time person at the Region Center to support counseling, we now have three people. And so their main jobs are to provide training, support, and resources for the districts. And so we have signed on to partner with Region 6 in a capacity building initiative. They've already started training. They're taking the elementary counselors tomorrow. They've come in and done 2 days of training already with the elementary counselors. So we'll continue that over the summer. They'll also come in and do professional development for summer prom days. The teachers can sign up for mental health support and social emotional awareness, just supporting the whole child. And somebody asked about a 3-year plan. I don't remember what question that was, but that's kind of coming along with the academic guidance piece that we're reconfiguring. And next month, Adam, Susan, and I will be blending all that in together because you can't separate one from the other. So we're looking at career and technology, college and career readiness, and counseling, and how we support all three and support the social emotional wellness. So, questions?
I think I sent in one of my comments. It was just surprising, I think, the survey results with the staff. Is that concerning? I mean, is it?
It is concerning. And I think, I put in my lengthy email and I've probably gotten to the bottom of it. I think there's multiple reasons for that. I think it's the end of spring after a very long and tiring process.
So, you know,
the COVID threw a loop for everyone, the remote learning, the hybrid schedule, all of those things that factored in, trying to do both things at one time. I think staff members are tired.
Needing a break.
And they need a break.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that summer, everybody gets a break. We lose the mask. You know, not being able to be with the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
To not be able to celebrate and do the things that you normally do. But I think we've also got some good things going with teaching and learning. We have a full day planned with the entire teaching and learning staff just to talk about engagement. Because one of the questions in the teacher survey and some of the results show that they think that they're supporting engagement, and they think that they're supporting growth mindset, and they think that they're teaching self-management. But the flip side of that says they're not always open and receptive to their own growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think coming in and teaching them what growth mindset is going to be imperative to moving forward. Teaching those skills to our adults, building capacity to support the kids.
May I add something? So that was, Kevin and Tammy and Dr. Barnes and I participated in the Selectee Leadership Series last week, and that was the major focus of that, was staff engagement. It's not a problem here, but it's a problem everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, I think you said that.
Yeah, and moving, you know, I think transitioning from being focused on the pandemic with the Employee Wellness Committee and getting our staff to give some ideas about staff engagement. So I think that's one of our big focuses heading into the summer is what do we want to do? I think people are just tired. And, but we need to find out concrete ways to re-engage them.
Yeah, and I think helping them understand what engagement really is, because most people, when they think about engagement, they just think about being busy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about being busy, and it's not just about doing tasks.
Committee.
It's about really being into the work that you're doing. I didn't do my Dr. Barnes update this weekend. So I wasn't really engaged in that activity.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did come in this morning and do it. But, you know, I love the updates. I love that he shares it in his newsletter. That's not an engagement activity. I mean, the engagement comes with really learning, loving, digging in, planning, processing. And so if we can get teachers to understand that concept that, you know, do what you learn and let's do it more often.
Yeah. Not just
because
a task,
they're
have
here
to get
because
out.
They love the kids.
Yeah.
And so let's not just get caught up in the mundane updates.
Yeah.
Let's do the real work.
Yeah.
And I think what Tammy's doing with teaching and learning is going to get more of that.
That's awesome.
What was your favorite takeaway from the
my favorite takeaway was just looking at the student surveys and seeing, because I thought, I didn't know how they would react, because it was all self-report. And, you know, the little ones have different answers than the big ones. How would we go up and down that way? And it's fairly consistent across the board. If you look at self-advocacy, self-management, the challenging feelings and growth mindset, it's pretty solid across the board. So when they're coming to us, they're increasing with what we're doing with capturing kids' hearts. But we need to do more with growth mindset. I think growth mindset is really the key to all of this. And so looking for consistency from grades 3 to 12 and then focusing on that growth mindset, I think that will get us where we need to be.
I'll just share something. I had a kid that told me today, he said, why were we still having to do work because the test is over?
Yes.
And I'm like, well, learning should happen all the time. And it was just kind of that mindset of like, well, learning should stop because the test is over. I mean, I know it's hard to get away from that maybe. But
it is, but you know, you're not appreciating growth, you're working for the test.
Right,
so
right.
How do we appreciate the growth?
Right. I actually, two kids told me that, two different, what, this week and last week.
Because it's movie week.
They have the same teacher.
No. It was two different, anyway, they're done, everyone's done, so.
I'm good.
You good?
Appreciate it.
Good stuff, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I enjoyed it very much. Yeah.
Yes. Very and next month is academic, right?
Right.
Okay, perfect. That's good.
And we'll put that all together with CTE and
that's awesome.
And advising and FAFSA. And
it's too much all at once, probably.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, I even lost my spot.
We'll be on the police.
Police monthly report. Anyone have any questions on that?
Well, 301 pages, I knew that was not mine.
Oh, goodness.
Everything's starting to kind of level out, the productivity stuff. We had two assault reports and a missing juvenile recovered. The assaults, I think, both happened on the bus. One was charged, the other one was just a report. Short of that, I don't know what I thought. Really nothing else, like I said. Everything's kind of leveling out. We're getting the same number of admin, safety checks, traffic. Pretty much that's all over now.
What happened?
It's
stuck.
Hang on. Sorry.
Any questions?
We've had some little traffic, sorry to bring this up, but we've had some little traffic stuff happening.
I'm sure you got some complaints today.
About
junior high stuff. It's just,
we've had a wreck there, it's been a month, but it creates a blind spot and when people turn in front.
They do it at Greenleaf and successfully every day.
Yeah.
What if the people, oh, this is
child. And today it was raining, I think, is why trying to get some more visibility, and obviously I was
Oliver Kemp's is on one road. I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah.
So I think we'll have to dig into the summonses with the traffic, because we had 10,000 more people. It's going to get better.
Right. So next we have the Land and Facilities Committee.
Okay.
So I'm here. Do you have any questions?
I just have a few.
Yeah, I can read it word for word once I get to it.
I have a 5-page list of questions. Yeah.
Let's
you,
go.
That I'll
I can talk all day. Let's go. I'll talk
one question
all
per day.
Day long.
Yeah, that's good.
So as you can see, we're going to grow.
Great job.
Looking at like 51,000, 49,000 new homes, 59. So 4 square miles under development, pretty much, right now, which it should bring about 8,000 homes. We went with a three homes per acre because we know that with current data that we have that not all acreage will be developed into subdivisions. Most of it will be high density type subdivisions, but you cut out the industrial parks, any roads, any, you know, we'll be building high schools. There'll be hundreds of acres going towards that. So that's why we got to the number of three. Looks like at about 7 to 10 years from now, I would not want to be on this board because you will need a new high school, a new junior high, another new junior high, a couple elementaries. So at total build up, we predict 24,000. That's a new student. 24,570 new students.
Wow.
To the district. I mean, it's something that we use to, you know, why do we make the decisions that we do? And being a little bit more data driven, going in the future. Not saying we weren't in the past, but now we have some live data type numbers. We'll also rely on the passive numbers as well, more on an official, but this gives us a good outlook. We've talked about some East Campus, I can say that right, reclamation type project. So I believe we'll be coming to the board with a recommendation here pretty soon for tearing down the old pre-K area, the old cafeteria, and all of that area to start that process of preparing it for the future. Anything else?
I guess I was going to ask you that the reason why like Harrington Trails and some of those newer subdivisions aren't on there because it was the old passive report, right?
Harrington, well, that's included in the 4 square miles.
Okay, so that was
under
the
development
one that was
now.
Okay. Yep. I just didn't see it listed, but I assumed since that was a 2019 and that was before the
On this list?
Yeah
that's an old, that's before we rezoned, I believe.
But that was just like an example of what was there at the time, and then you added on the
I think
other.
this was, we didn't do this. So this was used by PASA to help rezone for Timberlake.
But we'll have the new demographic report at Snapshot from PASA, so that will help as well. And that'll include all of our developments on there.
Our last Landing Facilities Committee, it was like, to me, it was just light bulbs going off because We've been trying to get real granular with the data, but once we finally backed up and said, hey, let's use 3 lots per acre, well, then you can look at square miles, and that's 648, you know, so it's a lot quicker to run through the numbers, and I think it made it clear to everyone when we kind of went through it that way. And 3, I mean, you know, we had to pick a number, right? We started with 4, we went to 3, so 3 may be a conservative number.
And the 0.5 per home may be conservative. Because what surprised me on here is, like, Rio Vista's 0.63 or 6.1 per home, and that's some high-value homes. Mm-hmm. The good thing was with that is that's not a high-density subdivision. Mm-hmm. So that brings that, you know, students per acre down quite a bit.
We have schools to build.
Yep, less schools. Mm-hmm. So.
It's scary when you think about that.
Without that. And then if y'all want, I can send y'all the spreadsheet.
That's good.
Where you can put in the numbers to see where whatever, like, adjust, see how many campuses we need.
Are you also meeting once a month?
So we went to once a month. We were every 2 weeks. We're once a month. We went to, this is our first time to go like once a month in a while. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank
you. We rewarded ourselves for such a
Dr. Burt, Kevin, Adam, you know, all of our committee for hanging in there on this one because it's pretty consistent.
Yeah, a lot of work.
So,
thank you. All right, we're moving on to consent agenda items. So, is there anything, any discussion on any of those items A through G?
Let me get back to it. I don't think I do.
So minutes, financial tax report, investment report, accounts payable. I'm going to read it through as part of the motion. If there's anything you want to remove, just as a staff, let me know. Approval of the Autism Collaborative Shared Services Agreement. Contract, the 21-22 contract with Harris County Department of Ed, academic ABS East. Consider approval of depository contract. The resolution regarding review of investment policy and strategies and approval of cost and vendor for furniture for high school addition. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Anyone?
Did you need anything else?
Not removing anyone else? Anything else? Okay. So we have a motion made by Dan? Seconded by, okay. By Alan? To approve the April 5th special meeting minutes. Et cetera, as stated earlier, all of those in favor, raise your right hand. All right, motion carries, 6-0. All right, so we have following action items. Action item A, discussion of possible action on the 21-22 salary and compensation plan. Do you have a motion for that?
I just want to just reiterate, it's very difficult for me personally, when we don't have revenue increases from the state to continue to give raises. At the same time, I mean, that's our job, right? We want to provide and we want to remain competitive. And it's just, we've got to let legislators know that you can't keep locking us at zero and anticipate a raise. I mean, it's a very difficult situation to be in. And the House Bill 3 went a long way to balance funding between basically low wealth school districts and high wealth school districts, but it did nothing for the facility side. And when we talk about adding 25,000 students, you know, over the next decade or, you know, two decades or whatever, and we don't have some kind of equity in facilities, it's very scary from this position, because I don't want to see us getting to a spot where we can't build schools to set kids in. And with that being said, I make a motion to approve the 2021-2022 salary and compensation plan as presented.
I'll second it.
All right, so we have a motion made by Dan Muirhead, seconded by Alan Wells, to approve the salary and compensation plan as presented. All those raise your right hand as in favor. Motion carries 6-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, all right, so next we have item B, discussion and possible action on the 21-22 staffing schedule.
I'm going to amend this. I'd like to make a motion to amend stipend schedule to eliminate eliminate the coaching discretion for applying stipends based on performance.
How about this, Alan? Make the motion to approve the 2021-2022 stipend schedule with the removal of the discretionary changes language.
With the removal of
the
discretionary
adjustment language.
Adjustment language. Okay, you got that?
I hope the recorder's on.
All right.
But yes, I think I do.
So
does that work?
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Did I make the motion, or did you?
Who made the motion? I thought Alan.
Okay, I'll second.
Okay. Then Alan seconded by Dan to approve the 21-22 stipend schedule with the removal of the discretionary
adjustment language.
All right. All those in favor, raise your right hand.
Abstain.
Okay. So motion carries 5-2-1 abstention. So. All right. Consideration and possible action on proposed student fee schedule.
I have a couple questions on that. On the optional aspects, there's some things that are listed there that are still optional. I would like to take away the optional deal, only to get back to what was set out when we planned this thing, is to not discourage any kid from playing. So whenever you still see some of those fees, if you keep optional in there, some of those fees are still over $1,000 to be a cheerleader or so I'd like to see some things that are just a flat rate, get back to getting more kids involved, don't leave money out there that's going to discourage a kid from wanting to participate. So I'd like to see some of those options just taken away.
So is this an item for discussion, or is this something you want to amend amend the action item, or is it something you want to see for the future, just so we kind of...
Yeah, for this student fee schedule, I would like to take the optional piece off of it. I don't think that, you know, we're still $1,038 to be a cheerleader.
That's a junior high cheerleader, right? Junior high.
I mean, that's still astronomical high, in my opinion, to try to get kids to be involved and to know that, oh, we're going to take in that optional piece, and it's going to cost $1,000. That's when we started this whole student fee thing, was to get things down where kids can not look at the fees first and still want to go cheer or still do that. So I don't like that optional piece in there to still drive the cost back up where we were when we started.
So I think the
is the optional piece the only place that's shown is in cheerleading?
Drill team has one as well.
Yeah, drill team.
The big key to it is just to share with you guys. If we play, let's say, football, and we said, hey, you got to pay for your uniform, your pads, your helmet, cleats. The cost is going to be $1,000. So for those, we pay for them. So the kid's only paying for practice stuff. We don't pay for cheer uniforms. We don't pay for drill team uniforms. You know, and so for me, as I thought about that, my dad gave me this, you know, buying this weekend, it's going to share with Brian Burke earlier. So I think when we look at it, as we kind of determine what we want kids to pay for and what we don't, kind of keep in mind that we do have activities for them to participate in that don't cost nearly as much. And then we have some things that do have a cost. So it's like kind of like buying a show animal. All our kids can't afford a show animal, but we're not going to spend $500 to give them a pig to go show with it. You know, if you want to do that, we, you know, but you can do well, then we can help you cover that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like I think if we can leave it with options, and something for you guys to think about, because that's the driving cost for cheer and drill. That's the two highest ones.
Dr. But it's Barnes, when you look at. Can I add to that?
I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Those options are a requirement. That's just if they want that piece of whatever it is. It's extra stuff, not something that they have to be a cheerleader. So sometimes they get an extra bag or they get extra clothes or bows or whatever it is that aren't required just to have. And that also drives up the cost for some of those.
Well, and then the survey showed us, right? I mean, there's one standout spot that the low socioeconomic we blocked them. We knew this from the get-go. The fees are so high that kids that can't afford it aren't participating. Mm-hmm. So,
as a board member, whenever you have somebody that tries out, this happened to me. This is one of those things. As a board member, you go through tryouts, a kid makes the team, and then you get a phone call that says, oh, my kid has to drop out because I can't afford $1,500 cheer. You know, that. To me, that ain't what that's about. My thing is let these kids do their thing. I know that it says that it's optional and that you can help, but man, there's so many parents that'll swallow their pride and still do it and not ask for help. I've been there before, you know. I don't pay a light bill, so that way my kid can do. And that ain't what this is about. It's not about a family trying to sacrifice their light bill to, you know, for a kid to cheer. I mean, it's more like, come on, let's go cheer. I know it says in there that you can ask for help. There's so many people that their pride says I'm not going to ask for help. I'm not going to tell my kid.
And I think we're, you know, kind of aware because we've been having this discussion for about 4 months or 5 months.
2 years.
So,
2 years.
But anyway, so I think not to. You know, undermine your passion for it, but it's, you know, this is a presentation for a vote. So are you wanting to amend the motion or, because we've discussed quite a bit, so now it's coming for a vote. So are you just registering?
I want to take away, we're on cheerleading, varsity choir with optional. I want to take the optional package away. I want the cost to be $532. I don't want it to be $898. JV required with optional. I'd like for the price to be $532. I don't want to send out an optional price of $826.
How about you put a cap, $600 or something? I mean, just.
Okay, just so stated and then we'll action.
I got another. We're under a contract with Under Armour, so workout clothes for athletics is $50. So it's $25 for a shirt, $25 for shorts. Then you go down to a band student, and they can get a ready dry fit shirt for $9. How come we can't get a $9 shirt for athletics to be the same cost as the band kids? I mean, why are we spending $25 on a shirt for one department, but $9 for the other?
So how about if I'll put this out? I'll make the motion to approve the proposed student fee schedule with a $600 cap for any program.
Well,
maybe that's not. I mean, is that what you?
I think we just. You just want to table it and try again?
But we need it for budget. How long can we table it?
This is student fees.
It depends.
I guess we've just been budget stuff lined up, and this is money.
Well, and it will be a budget if we decide to compensate. If they say it's going to cost $1,000 and we're capping the fee at $600, then we're going to have to pick up $400.
Yeah,
but I'm not a
four. We're
only talking about 40 kids. I mean, realistically,
yeah.
And she won't think it's huge.
Just cheer, but there's other programs.
Yeah, but then we hit on the
with the state, with the fees.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, and I guess we just have to multiply that by how many kids were involved in the program, right?
Yeah, I think we need to table it. There's some things on here that I would like to come in and, you know, I know that there's good intentions behind barn fees, but. You know, we don't charge football players or light bills. We don't play in lights, so I don't. You know, I think we need to take away the barn fees. I know that they're in there with good faith, but I don't think our kids need to be paying to use facilities that we don't charge any other kid to play for. We don't say, hey, you're going to pay $25 to go play basketball on our basketball court.
Okay. So are you asking them to table it?
I think we need to table it and go through here and kind of highlight it. Or I think we should take away on some of this stuff still. So I think the fees are...
An agreement on that?
I think they're further off than what they presented to us.
Do we have any dissension on tabling that? I'm not seeing any dissension on tabling that item C, the action on the proposed student fees. So just maybe you could put into... You know, into words and send them to Dr. Barnes about what you want to see so that we can, if there are budget items, we can get those to them as soon as possible. Sound good?
Yeah, we'll take that and bring a recommendation back.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to item D.
Thank you, Dr.
Discussion and possible action to replace existing CTE parking with concrete.
Okay. As we're cleaning up and finishing the project on the high school, campus. We've built a new auto body facility, and just to this side of it, basically from about the ag shop all the way back, there's a strip of that parking lot that is just basically Ed Reinhart came in and put down remilled asphalt, graded it in, oiled it, rolled it in, and that's what we're left with. And over time, it's kind of deteriorated because, you know, Fast Eddie's no longer commissioner. It hadn't been quite a while. We're at a point here in the game where we're still semi-mobilized on that project. We've gotten the contractor to get us two prices to replace that with 7-inch concrete. What they do is there's 15,000 square feet there. They come in, dig that out, stabilize the ground underneath it by 6 inches deep there, and come back and replace 7-inch concrete, sheet draining to the retention pond here. So there's no underground drainage, no stormwater drainage, it just sheets drains right off into the pond and to the street. For them to do that is roughly $139,000, I believe, is what that price is. The thing that you want to notice there's about $11,000 worth of contractor fees attached to that, Duratec fees. Our option there would be to... sub it out ourselves. We'd still have to have engineering or architectural design on it to go out to meet procurement law. There would be some cost savings by subbing ourselves, but then you've got the mobilization, the time, and everything that goes with it. So my recommendation is to go ahead and let Duratec take the ball, replace that concrete, and that section of that facility would be complete and lift apart with concrete. Either way, I'm good with it. It's quicker. It would be an adjustment to the GMP on that particular project. It would be a fund balance, which the whole project is a fund balance expense. But, you know, we've had some savings in the projects that we've had on the fund balance project. But the other thing to remember, too, and you have later in this action tonight, is the FF&E expenditures are also fund balance projects that are not included in the GMP that we knew up front. We did it that way because we weren't going to pay the extra contractor fees for the furniture and the equipment to go into either of those facilities. So that's the proposal.
I'll make a motion to replace to approve the replacement of the existing CT parking lot with concrete as presented.
Second.
Okay. We've got a motion by Alan and seconded by Adam to approve the replacement of the CTE parking lot with concrete. All those voting in favor, raise your right hand. Okay. Any nays? No.
Thank you.
All right. 6-0. Motion carries. All right. Possible action, discussion, possible action to approve the wastewater plant operations contract.
So, I do apologize for this. I should have sent this question in, but I didn't. Didn't see it till today. Looking at the bidding process, it looks as if on qualifications outside of relationship with the district, the most qualified outside of according to your scoring sheet.
Sure. So you have 7 different categories here.
Right. I'm just worried that the emphasis of the relationship with the emphasis on having a previous relationship with the district is detrimental in a way that we could be getting a better deal and spending less money over time based off of what you're showing in your rubric on how you score. So if it was, like, I wouldn't be so worried about this if the reputation, they scored less than that. They didn't. They scored equal in cost. They blew them away. But yet, the relationship with the district drove them to be the winning bid, and caught us the goods.
We are going to pay for a company that's going to be familiar with the facility and the plant. Part of the reason why I support that so heavily is because moving away from an in-house plant operator, there's a lot of things that were passed on to the current operating company that won't be passed on to a new operating company. The plant kind of has a personality that you have to learn over time. Do monthly sampling to make sure that we stay in compliance. And so a lot of that is learning how the well operates, making sure that it's tuned, doing your day-to-day checks. What I would be worried about I'm worried about bringing a company in that we get a turnover from our previous operator is that they're not familiar with how the plant operates. And I'm not saying that there's a guidebook that tells you step A, step B, step C. It has personality. The RAS line operates a certain way. I mean, I know that you understand that. And that was why I weighed it so heavily.
Does that fluctuate by service that you provide on your, does your rubric fluctuate based on the service that you're requesting bids for?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
So do you always weigh past relationship at 20% of the bid versus?
It depends on the service. It depends on the service. There's a lot of things that somebody can walk onto the district and they can do. There are some things that you can't. I would say that this is a big compliance item for me. Having that plant go out of compliance and having TDLR fine us, or, you know, worse, we get, you know, get levied some kind of fine, you know, we get levied some kind of fine, that's going to be, that could be a substantial amount of money just in one hit. That's my biggest, out of everything that I do here, the well and the compliance piece that goes into that.
That's fine. I just looking at it, just it seems like it would limit you. And so it's hard for me to support like that little piece. So I'm just one person, so that's it.
What was the difference price?
So it was so you can, yeah, it's your role there to. He was asking the difference.
So the difference in price, I can pull it up real quick.
Hey, of course, I'm going to abstain from this vote, but I will, everybody knows I'm in that industry. I know all three of those companies way too well. I have insight on the top two on that thing. And there is there's good employment history between the management of both. One of the managers at Tops, he was a manager for the guy that owns the Waterworks Utilities, and their relationship is still good. Like, you know, so what that is I can't, since I have to abstain, I don't want to sway the vote in any way, but I do personally feel that 20% on previous history thing is kind of, I think that's going to persuade that number a little bit. Those top two are little candidates, equally in my opinion. But so, like I said, I have personal relationships with them, so I have to abstain from my vote.
So the way that I looked at it is the Tufts is a company that have a in-house compliance manager named Wendy. She manages all of our reporting to TDLR. Then she manages all of our lead and copper sampling. She coordinates everything. That was a big factor for me, and she's been a huge benefit, especially coming out of having an in-house operator that's been here for years and years and been in a bubble, hasn't seen the industry norms, hasn't experienced what's going on out in the rest of the plants. So there's a lot of things that, you know, but we needed to tighten up. And she's helped tremendously. She's helped build sampling plans. And so they've put a lot of effort and time into developing what we do. We hand it to Hydrotech or to Waterworks. Then we're starting over again. And I don't, unfortunately, I'm not the plant operator.
No,
our plant operator is retired. I don't have a lot of that information passed down to them. So that's why, you know, are they capable of doing it? I mean, they're a professional well and wastewater plant operating companies. I'm sure that they can figure it out. I just don't want to be at the expense of trying to figure that out. You know, we're responsible for the compliance for the plants and the wells to the state. And, It's scary me if it gets out of whack. I don't want to be on that end of it. So I'm comfortable where we're at, and want to step into a space where I was not. And that's what I'm scared of.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just one guy, so no big deal.
Understand.
To be clear, you don't work for either one of these people. You don't work for any of these.
No, I don't work for either one.
Knowing someone doesn't disqualify you from weighing in. And having a, if there's no business, I mean, if you don't work for them and they're not doing business directly with you, that doesn't disqualify you.
So, Dan, to answer your question on pricing, so annually, I broke it up into different parts. I had a base bid, and two alternates, and then I gave some escalations and some labor rates that I wanted to capture during the bid process. For next fiscal year, it's $38,000 as opposed to $48,000. So it's a $10,000 difference across the two. Where one, if to put that in perspective, one incorrect sample is going to be five times that. If we get levied a fine because our lead and copper samples weren't labeled incorrectly, or if we didn't take back T samples correctly and report them to the state the way that it is in accordance with our sampling plan. So those kind of things that's what I took into consideration. Yes, there's a little bit of savings if we'd have gone with the cheap guy.
But it's the one range, you know. I mean, I get it. You know, I mean, the one you know, you have confidence in. I guess I know you know this, business more than the rest of us. And I don't see why, I don't see where you need to have to I don't see where you even feel like you need to disqualify yourself.
I'd agree with that, because we use the expertise of everybody in the room. And if that's the field, you're not, don't have a conflict of interest with them, you can pay in.
Well, what I would ask you, Jason, is it a situation where you'd be concerned about weighing in on one side or another because of your personal relationship and how that would look?
It's a personal relationship. Yes, it's a personal relationship. The next thing is wastewater operators are sought after. And it ain't now, but let's just say that tomorrow, it's to me, it's hard if I vote one way or the other on this deal, and then tomorrow Tops was to call me up and say, hey, I want to offer you a position.
Okay.
And then,
okay.
I
have a legal.
Any questions that you'll have about either one, because that is my expertise.
I have a legal question.
I would like myself to
go to closed session for a legal question.
Knowing that we're a tight knit group and water, wastewater.
Have your input just the same from the vote.
Yeah. So,
I would like to go. I got a legal question involved, and so I'd like to go to closed session.
Okay. So we've got a request to go to closed session. All right.
Unless we want to table it and go at the end, if we want to keep going, but.
Yeah, I'm fine with going to the end.
Just keep going and finish it up.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to item F. We're going to come back to item E at the end. We're setting the date for the proposed budget for 21-22. All right. So I'm going to, you have a present, you're going to present.
No, ma'am.
Okay, good.
No,
all right. Thank you. I'm going to make the motion.
Yeah, we're not making that one hard.
Approve the public hearing date of June 21st, 2021 for the proposed budget for 21-22 as presented.
Second.
All right. So motion by me, second by Adam, to approve the public hearing date June 21st. That's a regular board meeting, I'm assuming, right?
6 p.m. though, correct?
6 p.m. I think that's what I saw on the board book.
Yes.
All those voting in favor, raise your right hand. All right. Motion carries 6-0. All right, we've got to set a date for the public hearing for ESSER 3. I'll make that motion to approve the public hearing date of June 7th. That's the our next meeting
of
the ESA 3 grant.
I'll second
at 5:30.
Is that 5? This is 5:30?
5:30.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was you, Dan?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a motion by me, second by Dan, to approve the public hearing date, 5:30 p.m. June 7th. All those voting in favor, raise your right hand. All right, motion carries 6-0. All right, I would like to make the next motion to approve Joyce Lucas as this year's RB TELUS nominee.
I would love to second that motion.
All right, so we have a motion. Any other conversation?
I'll save it. Okay. We're good. We'll go that route.
We have a motion to approve Joyce Lucas as this year's RB TELUS nominee. All those in favor, raise your right hand. Okay, motion carries 6-0.
Suzanne, who seconded? I'm sorry.
Me, Dan.
Dan. All right, superintendent's report.
Yeah, so you guys can see all the data, the pictures. I know we just met a couple of weeks ago, but Teacher Appreciation Week, lots of things to celebrate as we wrap up the school year. I know there's an event next week. Right, Diana?
Maybe.
Next week, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
No rain on
Wednesday. All the rain got over this week, so just marching towards graduation. Made the announcement on Friday at the senior awards that no tickets will be required, so good job there. Then the only other thing, I met with Greg Gibson last week after our Capitol visit, and we worked on converting some of the goals that you guys had sent over to the ballot scorecard, so he should be sending me that copy, and I'll get that over to you guys as soon as I get it. So things are progressing on that.
Okay. I'm just going to review quickly. Are you done? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Done.
This thing,
no, you're good.
They're just the possible agenda items, just in case there's anyone here, because, and then we're going to go into closed session. And I'm assuming we won't have as much of an audience, perhaps. So curriculum management plan, monthly police report. You guys can look at that and see, is there anything else to add to that?
Student fees.
Thank you. So we need to add the student fees on there, maybe?
That's for the special, though.
Right.
Yeah, but the, it may end up to a vote.
Yeah, that's true.
In June, right?
Yeah.
So student fees discussion would be added on the agenda review, but, yes, sir.
So just one thing to keep in mind, the student fees as it relates to cheer and dance. I'm going to get the dates of their camp, because normally they like to have those items purchased so they can, when they go to camp, to have them. And so it's going to be a turnaround, and usually it's in June.
They've already paid their check.
So they haven't ordered them in the whole process, but it's going to be a tight window.
But they've already cut their check this year.
Yeah, I think they can. If they hadn't got it yet, there might be some.
We'll make that a part.
We're going to check on that date, see if we need to push that up to the agenda review, the vote. And maybe y'all, specifically, maybe we could kind of narrow it down what you want to propose.
Yeah,
so that we can have an idea, because otherwise we'll have this same discussion every time, and we really need to nail that down. Like, what don't we like, what do you do,
What can we live with?
And then we can formulate the vote, the action item, based on that. Okay. All right. So let's see, Board of Trustees will now go into a closed session. This closed session will be held for purposes authorized by the Texas Open Meetings Act, Texas Government Code 551.1. I've got some personnel safety. What were you calling closed session?
Oh, just legal. Yeah, there you go.
Attorney here, though.
I can text Stephanie.
Okay, you
want to
get the...
I see if she's available for a call.
I'm sorry?
I see if Stephanie is
available. I don't know. I can't hear what you're saying.
We're fine. It doesn't matter to me.
I don't know.
You can contact her if you want. Yeah.
You just want to go to close session?
Yeah.
I'm going to text Stephanie.
Okay. For consultation, you have the code for that.
It's in the red book.
All right.
I don't know off the top of my head. You haven't worked those things yet?
I know, right? What have I been doing?
Yeah, you keep these things. What for?
What do you do on a weekend?
A whole lot of not this.
I get it.
So there's 551-07.
Real property, personal matters. Here we go, 551.071. Consultation with attorney, no voting will take place in a closed meeting. Any action the board wishes to take as a part of the discussion, closed session will take place after the board reconvenes in the open meeting. It is now 9:18.
It's only 9:10. That's pretty cool.
And we need to make a code for Suzanne going to the bathroom.
No, I like that idea. Yeah, I would, because they're talking about your thing.
I wasn't sure if I'd go with them.
No, he would have told me. Spark would have said something.